Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Well, last night, Ohio played host to one of the presidential debates on the Democratic side of the aisle as the candidates came to Central Ohio, and it was broadcast last night. And, of course, there was some very curious things that the Democratic Party is talking about in relation to religious liberty and to people of faith that are of great concern. In coming programs, we're going to talk about those issues as they held a forum last week on LGBTQ rights and what some of the candidates had to say about churches or houses of worship that would not comply with LGBTQ special rights and being stripped of their tax-exempt status. We'll be talking about that with legal experts on a future program. But right now, we want to turn to Ohio and legislation that's working its way and about to be introduced at the Ohio State House. And there is concern about, you know, young people that have been going to college and mounting up college debt with really no direction. High school counselors encouraging people to go to college. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But unless you have a real bead on what you want to do, you may be entering into college just mounting up future debt that will be a burden for you and your family for years to come. And it may not even be part of your career choice. And so, what are the career choices for Ohio students right now? And we're going to talk about a great demand for trades in the state of Ohio as we have a lot of people coming to retirement age in the trades throughout Ohio, and lots of job openings, but very few people that are being trained currently for those trades to fill those high-paying trade jobs. We're going to be talking about a representative who understands the issue and also has a passion for giving future hope to our young people for their career choices, and that's State Representative Mark Romachuk, and he is from Ohio's 2nd District, which is Richland County. He is currently serving at the Ohio State House, and he has a bill that he co-sponsored in the past, and now he's going to be the lead sponsor on legislation that will be a College Credit Plus type program for trades. That is currently in Ohio high schools. Students can take what's called college credit courses, which will go for college credit as they enter into their first years of college. Well, he wants to translate that type of program to trades, that those who are being trained in high school in the trades and then being able to enter the workforce. With us on the phone is State Representative Mark Romachuk. Representative, thank you for joining me today.
Good afternoon, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. And you come from a background, obviously, with your work, 30 years of experience in small business and systems engineering and management, and the company that you work in machining. So what's your idea with this legislation?
Well, Chris, we know that over the last 40 or plus years in Ohio, we've been telling most of our young people that they have to go to college to be successful. And as you mentioned, that model really hasn't worked, especially when you consider about 50% of the college graduates are underemployed. What that means is they're not necessarily working in the field of study that they went to college for, and they're probably not making the money that they thought they would make. And as you mentioned, they have these large debt levels that they have to pay off. So university college level studies have become very, very expensive. So what we've been trying to do for the last several years in the legislature is requiring the executive, requiring the Department of Education to talk about other things, not just college bound. We want them to talk about all the career options a young person has in front of them, and one of those is the skilled trades. I can tell you that was one of the reasons I ran for office, was to change that paradigm in Columbus and to force our educators to stop saying you must go to college to be successful. But there are other career tracks that are debt-free most of the time, pay very well, good wages. We're talking full wages with full benefits, and you can make a career of them. So, and in addition to that, you can go back to college at a later date if you choose to. And the beauty of that is many times employers will pay for that college education. So you'll do it without debt. And you'll be a little bit older, experienced, and it'll be likely that you do better in college under that scenario. So that's what we're trying to accomplish in this bill. And we're hopeful that it can get finally over the finish line in Columbus.
Well, as each day passes, a few years ago, it was then State Treasurer Josh Mandel who first talked about this along with some other legislators a few years back and saying, hey, we really need to encourage people to go into the trades programs. We're talking about high-paying jobs that are really career choices that will benefit them and their families for years to come. We're needing electricians. We're needing plumbers, carpenters, welders, auto mechanics. I talked to my own son-in-law who has a auto repair shop that actually is very successful in Cuyahoga Falls, but part of the problems he has is finding younger people who know how to turn a wrench, really know how to work on cars. And so some of the high schools are really starting to go back to the trades programs. For years, I mean, we got rid of welding, we got rid of wood shop, we got rid of trades programs. There's a few local schools now going back to a model and actually working in local consortiums with other high schools to have a cooperative of a trades programs so that it's benefiting our young people to make other career choices, not just college. Your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly right. And the issue we still have with the College Credit Plus program that you mentioned earlier, and that's the program that pays for college-level courses that lead to credit while a student is in high school. It's a good program. I like it. But the problem is it's always college. It's a college track. I want to take that same program and move it over to a career trades track. Again, it goes back to this model we've been following in Ohio and probably much of the country, and that is you have to go to college to be successful. That hasn't worked. So now I want to take programs that are pushing students into college. At the same time, I want to make available under the same program a career track that pushes them into the trades. It's very important. There are tens of thousands of job openings going unfilled in the state of Ohio in the trades. We have about 150,000 job openings in total that are going unfilled. It's in Ohio as we speak today. It is definitely the defining issue. It's what the legislature and state government should be focusing on, and that is filling these job openings that are going unfilled.
That's right. In fact, here in Ohio, we have an infrastructure problem with roads and bridges. The State House, of course, passed a gas increase for road repair and bridges across the state of Ohio. Governor DeWine, of course, laid that out as we need to rebuild our infrastructure and roadways across the state of Ohio. But here are some of the stories. My son, who exited out of the military a few years ago, and some of his friends. One friend was into management with construction, with highway construction. He got his degree. He came to Columbus, Ohio, where there was a lot of work, and he was working with as a contractor in concrete construction. He worked with a company that had a lot of jobs and a lot of work in front of them. They just didn't have enough workers to fill the roles. In fact, what they told him as a project manager, they said, we have the work and we want to put you as the management oversight of it. Our problem is we can't find enough workers to fill the roles to take on this work. You know, Mark, that really shouldn't be. I mean, these are some of the, so the work is there, the demand is there, but the workers, we're in want of those workers. We're not training people for the future. Your thoughts?
exactly right. You know, as you mentioned, I'm a business owner. I own two manufacturing companies, and today I could probably hire a dozen people. And because of the lack of skilled workers in the pool of labor that's available, it's really harming our economy. In fact, in the case of my two businesses, I am not taking on new work because I'm having trouble filling the work I currently have with the workforce I have. If I could hire a dozen people, I could take on new work. And a lot of times this is work that's outside of the borders of Ohio. So that is the ideal situation for our state economy, and that is we're doing work outside of our borders because that brings wealth and that brings money into our state. So this is not a problem I'm having, but all the businesses in Ohio, every one of them, nearly every one, if you were to ask them, would tell you that they need to hire people. So as politicians, we, you know, commonly talk about it's all about the jobs, and that's true. It's all about our economy. It's all about opportunity for people. Well, what's interesting here and how we find ourselves today is the jobs are created. They're there. We've done our job to some extent. We've created that environment that leads to job creation. The problem is we don't have the people to fill them. So that's why it's the defining issue. That's why not only the legislature but state government should be working on this.
Well, and it's an all-encompassing factor. There's a number of pieces of legislation. Your proposed legislation is long overdue, and we will support it. There's other legislation that's out there on apprenticeship programs, and also SB 7, which is about military families and job opportunities. Now, you served in the military, and by the way, thank you for your service to our country. And but, you know, as military families come back, a lot of them receive some type of level of training in the military. Then when they seek to fill that job back in Ohio, there's encumbrances of them actually getting into the job specification that they had already training for in the military. Your thoughts?
Well, I haven't seen Senate Bill 7 yet, but I can tell you if it has to do with occupational licensing for military, returning military personnel, that has to be solved. We've been talking about that for several years. So in other words, and I've heard this example used, if a military person can drive a truck in Fallujah, he can probably drive a truck back here. So what has happened in the past is those individuals returning have to go through all the training to get certified and to get their license. That's really silly, and we need to smooth all that out. It should be seamless, not only individuals coming back from the military, but also other individuals that has an occupational license in a different state.
Yes.
We should look at working on those things as well, and we've been doing that. There has been pockets of improvement there with regard to these individuals coming to Ohio. And by the way, it's an attraction tool. We just talked about the number of jobs going unfilled. Well, if we reduce some of that regulation and make that occupational licensing easier for not only material or military personnel coming back, but also people coming into our state, guess what? People will come here and will fill those jobs.
That's right. And what we're talking about is giving hope to young people. We know, you know, we have an opiate addiction problem in the state of Ohio. We have now over the last 10 years. And as a result, we need to really give these young people something that they can look to as a future as far as careers. As we're going to continue to work on recovery programs for opiate and drug addicts, getting back into the workforce and doing training for them, giving them these opportunities in the trades is something that, you know, I know the governor, it's on his mind to do and to pursue because we want to give our young people hope. And what better way than to plow a career path for these folks that will benefit for them and their families and for their futures? Your thoughts?
Well, that's right. But we will need the cooperation from the business community. And in most cases, businesses have a reluctance to hire someone who has maybe been a prior addict, went through treatment, and it is clean. So we need to remove that stigma so businesses are willing to take a chance on an individual that has bettered their life and needs that job to continue their progress. So I think there's some things we can do at the state level, but we also need businesses willing to hire those individuals.
Well, that's right. And so, you know, for instance, one of our advisors to our committee has an asphalt and concrete business. He actually hires men coming out of prison and who have had run-ins with the law, or they've had addiction problems. And Nick has always been very helpful to these people and their families, and giving them that second and third chance so they can get back on their feet. He'd be, you know, and I know there's a lot of people in Ohio who are business owners who want to work with those who have had some problems and had some issues and are getting back up on their feet. And that's what it's all about, folks. And this is where it's a total view of how we can actually turn things around and give hope in Ohio. So I know lots of folks who are listening that are concerned about the drug and addiction programs, and they've been praying for people and for recovery and worked with recovery programs. The next step, of course, is getting them gainfully employed, working with the business community, and supporting legislation like this that will give the opportunity for young people to actually get training in the trades programs and start steering people that way, because there is such a high demand. Again, we're going to need electricians. We're going to need plumbers and carpenters and welders and machinists. In fact, Mark, someone was telling me that Ohio actually, in the machining industry in Ohio, provides most of the parts for the airline industry. Talk to us about that. That's amazing to me.
It is amazing, and it's a well-known fact for us in the industry that Ohio has the biggest supply chain for the aerospace industry. So many parts, component parts that go into aircraft, are made in Ohio. So we have a huge base of those type of suppliers here. Now, when you talk about aerospace related componentry, that's very complex. It's very technical. It has to be made right, obviously. So that requires a very highly skilled workforce. And if you don't have that workforce, well, guess what will happen to that supply chain? That supply chain will move. It will go to another state that has the proper workforce. So, again, very complicated work, very close tolerance work. It has to be right. It requires a very highly skilled workforce, and that's what this bill will do, was help fill that pipeline of more people that have the skills needed to do this type of complex work.
In Akron, there was a group called the Akron Machining Institute over the years, and they actually trained a lot of machinists. They worked with local high schools as well and trade programs to actually fill the roles of, as you said, highly trained machinists who have the skilled labor to be able to work long term. And I had some friends I went to school with, but that was in the late 70s, and those people reaching retirement age. And they worked in the industry all these years, and they're coming to retirement. Mark, we've got to start training, and I mean yesterday. I mean, we're behind the eight ball here, aren't we?
We are behind the eight ball. The pipeline of new workers, of skilled workers, is very thin. To be honest with you, the actual training programs themselves are very good. They're graduating some highly skilled, very good workers, high-quality workers. The problem is there's just not enough of them. So part of this responsibility also lies with industry. Industry has to tell their story better. We have to tell it often, and we can never stop telling it because there's still a little bit of stigma out there about manufacturing being the old manufacturing of old, dimly lit, you know, bad working conditions. Today, manufacturing and all the skilled trades are very high tech, very clean, well lit. They're great places to work. So it's incumbent on business and industry to make sure that we're always telling our story, because we've evolved so far. It's become very computerized, very high tech. And if we stop telling our story, then we're not going to attract students into our industry. So it's also not only state government, but also industry that has to partner and tell their story. And we'll start filling that pipeline again.
We're talking with State Representative Mark Romanchuk. He is from Ohio's 2nd District, which is all of Richland County. He serves at the Ohio State House, and he has legislation he is about to introduce. He's still talking to interested parties about the legislation. We want you to be successful on this, Representative. We're fully supportive of you, and we know some other groups around the state of Ohio have been talking about this on the grassroots level of actually encouraging the trades programs with our young people, not pushing everybody into college, because not everybody needs to go to college, and it can be quite successful for sure, and they don't need to mount up college debt. That's been a discussion in our household, and of course a number of our children did go to college, but not all. They went through some state schools, and then they did some other career choices. We raised 8 children, but it's not for everybody, and so that's why when you look at some of the high schools now that are starting to work in cooperation with each other for trades programs, we need this legislation to give them that added encouragement that will be a benefit to both the student and the trainee and those who are doing the training. Your thoughts?
Well, that's right, Chris, and we really appreciate you bringing attention to this matter. I think most Ohioans understand there's a lack of skilled trades, a lack of skilled workers. I mean, just call a plumber. If you can get one on the phone and get them to come out, you're very lucky. But generally, there's shortages in all these skilled trade positions. So the more attention we can bring to this, the more programming we can provide. And of course, the financing, the funding part is important, too. And that's what this bill also addresses. The more we can do, the better chance we'll have of filling this pipeline again of skilled workers. And it's going to help our economy. It will just be a win-win-win for Ohio.
Well, I know the governor has also talked about this. He's in favor of the concept. Of course, the bill hasn't been introduced yet, and you're working on it with the interested parties. And, of course, folks can call their representatives to support the concept of this, of a trades program initiative that you're working on. And I think you'll probably get some calls from other representatives say, hey, when's your bill going to come out? Our folks want this. And that's what we'll encourage across the state. But, again, I think it's something that Governor DeWine has talked about, and we're encouraged that he has talked about it. So, you know, there's players at the State House. Obviously, there's a lot of different moving parts to this, but we want to be fully behind you because the initiative has to be a promise to our young people for their future and the future of our state. And again, to make sure that Ohio's economy is humming along, because as we support families, we support a strong workforce that, you know, men need jobs. And to build strong families, and that's what we encourage entirely.
Well, I appreciate everything you said. I'll just make one addition. Not only men, but women need jobs, and women are finding a greater and greater role in manufacturing and the trade. So we welcome all the women, and they're great jobs with high pay, full benefits. So, yeah, we'll keep filling that pipeline.
Absolutely. Thank you, State Representative Mark Romanchuk. And as soon as this bill number comes out, we'll make sure that we encourage our people to call and support it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris.
Again, that was State Representative Mark Romanchuk of Ohio's 2nd District. We'll be right back on the other side with Brian Williams from the Associated Builders and Contractors talking about the trades and the training that they're doing as an organization. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This wonderful historical presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans. If you'd like to make a contribution towards the effort of adding this prayer to the memorial, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org. And we're back, and in fact, with the D-Day Prayer Project, want to let you know that the temporary prayer plaque is currently at the World War II Memorial at the Circle Remembrance Area. If you're going to be in Washington now until the end of November, you'll want to visit. It's just beyond the Atlantic Arch, and ask someone at the visitor's booth there where the Circle Remembrance is there, and it's going to be an area that's going to be, of course, upgraded and enhanced once we secure the funding to add the full D-Day prayer of FDR as he prayed with the nation on the morning of the D-Day landings. And it's going to be added in a grand way for a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans as a permanent memorial addition at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. But currently is the temporary prayer plaque that was placed in, we had a ceremony on June 6th of the 75th anniversary with Senator Portman and dignitaries from the Park Service and the Friends of the World War II Memorial. And then, of course, it was installed a little later in July, but it will be there until the end of November. So again, if you're going to be in Washington, go on down to the Circle Remembrance. And if you would, pray over that area as we continue to raise the funding. And also to read the prayer aloud, if you would, with friends that join with you. And that's what we're going to encourage young people from all across America to do once we add the permanent addition of the D-Day prayer. Well, continuing with our theme of trades programs for our young people for the state of Ohio, we're going to talk with Brian Williams, who is the director of Associated Builders and Contractors, an organization that lobbies at the State House and also encourages the trades in the state of Ohio. And they represent an association of independent contractors and workers across the state of Ohio. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, Brian, we just talked to State Representative Mark Romanchuk, who is going to restart the what's essentially a trades program bill. It's going to be the College Credit Plus equivalent for the trades in Ohio high schools. He's talking to interested parties, and he said he's getting good feedback. He's waiting to hear on the Ohio Department of Education, who's been dragging their feet. And you and I have our thoughts on that. Obviously, this is legislation that you support. Tell us why.
I do. Ohio spends a lot of money currently and wisely to help high school students earn college credit so that when they get to college, they already have prepaid some and achieved some college credit. And we think that's a wonderful thing. But we think Ohio should put on an even playing field those students who want to go from high school into the work world and in this area for the construction trade to be able to obtain industry level training in the craft, in the construction trade arena, and have the state pay for it through their education in a way similar that they pay to, for students to earn college credits. We think it only fair that the state invest in those people who are not going to college, but to invest in job skills that they, that are industry recognized credentials. And so that when they graduate from high school, they'll have a certain amount of electrical or carpentry or plumbing or masonry or HVAC training and experience under their belt. They'll already be affiliated with an employer and go straight into the workforce and be able to continue their skills development with a full-time job. And we think that it's only fair that if the state is going to spend a good deal of money, millions in fact, pre-educating kids for the college world, they ought to be willing to do the same thing of pre-educating people for the work world.
And Governor DeWine has indicated his support for this type of program, and he has said so a couple of times on the stump as he's gone out and talked to different business groups. In fact, I was there at your invitation for the luncheon of the Associated Builders and Contractors earlier this year, and the governor, in fact, said just that, that he was in favor of this type of legislation that would encourage this kind of program in Ohio high schools. And training these young people for the trades is critical, as each day that goes by, we are a larger and larger gap of those being needed to move Ohio's economy forward is desperate. But the fact is that we just don't have the workforce trained to fill those jobs. Your thoughts?
Yes. In fact, I will tell you that I had lunch today with both the governor and the lieutenant governor in Richfield, Ohio. And this issue came up once again. And the governor said, well, I'm for that. What's the status of that bill? Who could be against that? And we had to tell them, well, there's two groups that have been very, how shall we say, leery of the idea. Even though it sounds like a great idea to most everybody else, there are some people that are concerned. I will say that career technical schools who are in Ohio who want to fill up their program, who compete for students, are concerned that maybe students will not go to the career technical centers and get training there, but they'll bypass that and go into these other the training through this avenue. So there's a competition there that has to be addressed. And to that I say, no, these are students who will not come to the career centers. They've already made that decision. They want to stay in their residential high school. This simply gives them an opportunity to do both, even after the fact, after they've chosen not to come to the career centers. And then second, there's another group out there that those are the folks that supply and demand mean something to them. Unfortunately, we see evidence that those that are in the union trades are not very interested in meeting the shortage of people trained in the construction trade. And the reason they're not interested in meeting the shortage is because the fewer workers, the more money they can demand on the job site. And that is very, very short-sighted in our view. It gets to the point where if a developer and a builder and a property owner cannot afford to develop a property, it's not going to, because the labor is too rare or too expensive, they're simply not going to build, and the economic development will not occur, and the jobs that would occur on that site will not benefit other Ohioans because our construction costs were overpriced. So we think both are short-sighted. There is a demand here. Right now, we know that in Ohio, there are over 25,000 high-paying, quality construction jobs available, and quite frankly, probably twice that if you're if you take the entry level for people who are just willing to be on this on-site laborers on their way to learning a more a specific construction trade. But at 25,000 well-paying jobs, that we can't find people willing to pursue, we know there's plenty of work to go around. ABC, for instance, does what we call the construction backlog indicator. In Ohio, it's around 9 months. That means if you go and find a contractor to build your project and you ink the deal, you have to wait 9 months, adjusted for seasonal interruptions, and so if you're going to break ground in the winter. Setting all that aside, you've got to wait 9 months from the time you sign the contract to get that developer to start the project and get going on the project because of the backlog demand. Our folks are bidding out prices to people who want to build, giving them prices for next season, that's at best, and not even being able to guarantee that they'll be able to start the project this next season because of the labor workforce shortage issue and the demand. The economy is strong in Ohio, and if we don't feed it with the development that it wants, it's going to go to other states.
We're talking about the labor shortage in the trades programs here in the state of Ohio. We are not doing our young people any service by not giving them the training of the trades in high school. You know, Brian, here we have young people that are going to our schools throughout the state, public schools, and what we used to have areas where we would do some training. Schools got away from that. We're starting to push these kids towards college, and then what you had was young people going to college, not even knowing why they were there, taking general courses, meandering for a few years and realizing, college isn't for me, dropping out in the third year. And then they have all this college debt and no career. And even if they graduate with a course study that's not going to be their career choice, and yet they're paying the bill on it. There's something wrong with that picture, and we've got to change that. And then you have other young people that are basically lost. They need training. You know, there's jobs that are out there. They don't know that they're there. They have a sense of hopelessness of what they're going to do with their lives. And unfortunately, that's where the drug picture comes in. And then their lives really get off track. We need to give hope and encouragement to our young people by providing them the kind of jobs and career choices that can benefit their lives and their families for the future. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. And you can't choose something you don't know exists. In 30 years ago, when we let our middle schools, what we used to call junior high schools, crowd out of their curriculum space, wood shop, metal shop, and home economics, and also home economics did some financial literacy training as well, we really did our young people a disservice. How can we expect people to go into, and there's a very big shortage for diesel mechanics, auto mechanics, and all things mechanical, basically, manufacturing employees working in factories, as well as a shortage of the construction trade we've been talking about. We did ourselves a big disservice when we stopped introducing 7th and 8th graders to this world. They can't make this as a choice that they may or may not be interested in if it's never introduced to them. So unless you have a family member who's going to introduce it to you, or maybe somebody in your neighborhood or somebody, you see it on TV or you see it in the industry, it's unrealistic to expect that we're going to meet the demand until we put this curriculum back into the schools. And that's what we're advocating policymakers to consider, in addition to the College Credit Plus for the high school students who've already decided, hey, I'd like to study in this area. First, we have to introduce them in this area, and we haven't been doing that really across the board since the 1980s.
Well, that's right. And there are some schools that are doing some model programs. Barberton High School is working with Norton, and they're also working with Wadsworth City Schools in a consortium of a trades program, of which each of the schools have a different trade that they're working with. But this College Credit Plus style program in the trades would be a great benefit of local businesses being able to train these young people for the next step of what they're going to take in a career path, whether it be machining, whether it be electrical, plumbing, yes, or contracting. And yet, this bill has been bogged down at the State House. There's a lot of people like yourself and Representative Romanchuk and others, Representative Hagan, who served, she's termed out now, who support this, along with Governor DeWine. Yet we've not been able to get it launched. Hopefully this time with Representative Romanchuk, he'll be able to get it moving and we can get the majority of the House and Senate to pass it so we can have something effective in this state going forward. Your thoughts?
Yes, absolutely. The more people that raise a voice in support, the more that's how democracy works. Eventually this will happen because the economy needs it, because it's the right thing to do. And I think if we did it in tandem, if we did the College Credit Plus in tandem with the putting shop class back in the middle schools, more high school students would choose career tech opportunities if they had the exposure in the middle school. So there's that. And then for those students who refuse to leave their home school for whatever variety of reasons, and those are usually family reasons, personal reasons, sports reasons, social reasons, for whatever it is, we should still make available to them a new career path of training through the College Credit Plus. It does it. It's a win for the economy, and people have to stop. We really have to be able to convince people that denying a young person of this career path, this career pathway into this construction trade and your manufacturing trade, hurts the person, hurts the child, hurts the economy. And stop thinking about your school district and the loss of revenue you may or may not feel because the student chooses an alternative career path. That's not why we created our public school system, which is to monopolize and covet these students against any outside opportunities. It's just, it has to, that attitude has to subside for the better interest of the state, the student, and our economy.
A few months ago, you took me on a field trip to a career center that's doing some training with students. Tell us about that.
Yes, and so, you know, that's the all of the above strategy that we hear so much about in the energy industry. When it comes to job training at ABC, we recommend the all of the above strategy there as well. And what you and I toured was a place for kids who have already dropped out of high school, and they do not have their GED degree, but they're still under basically the age of 26. That's what's called a dropout recovery program, and that fine institution basically specialized in two things. One, they taught the construction trade to young people, and two, they taught them entry-level medical services so they could get into the medical industry and get certificated in that area while getting their GED. And so we can never give up on the young worker because they're a person in their 20s, early 20s, who doesn't have specific job skills, who isn't going to college, but they're still going to be in this world for another 50, 60, 70 years, God willing. And they need to have, we can never give up on their training and to make them productive members of the citizens. And so dropout recovery programs do that. The one we toured specialized in those two areas. And every day, they're not only, every year, they're graduating students with GEDs who are getting into the job field. And both of those are high demand jobs. The entry-level medical professionals for nursing assistants and STNAs, along with entry-level carpenters and masons and plumbers. Those are all very in-demand and well-paying jobs that those people become the entrepreneurs of tomorrow. Many of them become self-employed. They start their own company because they have a skill, and great things come from that.
We're talking with Brian Williams, who is the director of Associated Builders and Contractors. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this message. Don't go away.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This wonderful historical presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans. If you'd like to make a contribution towards the effort of adding this prayer to the memorial, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back. We're talking about trades programs in Ohio high schools and how not everyone needs to go to college, but that they need to fill the trades of great paying career choices for their future and for our state's future, because there's such a demand right now in the workforce. We actually have a labor shortage, ladies and gentlemen. We heard earlier from State Representative Mark Romanchuk, who talked about in his own machining shop down in Mansfield area, he can hire 12 skilled workers right now, but they're not available. He wants to take on more work. He could actually, there are contracts he could fill, but he doesn't have the workforce to fill them. And that's just an example of what is in need across the state of Ohio. When we see the construction happening on the highways, how slow it seems to progress. A lot of times these contractors cannot find the skilled labor to actually field the crews that will move these projects along. And we've heard story after story about this, and this is a great need in our state, and we're needing this legislation to move things forward. Brian, what's your thoughts on all this?
Well, I think those struggles, I hear them all the time in manufacturing and in construction, and I think one of the things that the public needs to know, the parents need to know, and students need to know is two things. Number one, we already know that 70% of all the jobs in Ohio do not require a college education. So it doesn't make sense that 70% of high school students would go to college when 70% don't need that college degree in order to do to have a career in something else. That's number one. Number two, people should also know that construction and manufacturing, their image of it, if it's more than 10 years old or even 5 years old, it's outdated and wrong. These jobs are not nearly as physical as they used to be. They're not nearly as laborious as they used to be. They're not nearly as messy or dirty as they used to be. These are jobs that safety advancements in manufacturing and construction have changed so profoundly over the years that they are safer, cleaner, and easier jobs to do, which is evidence of why the one area where we're seeing more growth is women in these workplaces. Everybody talks about Rosie the Riveter from the Second World War who went into those factories. I can guarantee you Rosie would like working in today's manufacturing plant because they're a lot cleaner, less physically demanding, and a lot safer. And so we always try and tell parents and students, go look at what manufacturing means in a skilled trade shop of any kind or construction trade before you make a decision about not pursuing it as a viable career path for somebody who's talented and wants to work with their hands.
Well, also, we had a provision in the state budget that would have addressed an issue about power tools with those that are minors, as far as I think 16 and 17-year-olds being able to use power tools in training. Tell us a little bit about what happened with that in the budget bill.
Yes, Governor DeWine's credit, he introduced in his budget a provision that would allow for 16 and 17-year-olds to work in manufacturing and construction environments with power tools in a way approved by the U.S. Department of Labor. In other words, not all power tools. Some are so dangerous that you have to be an adult in order to be used, and you have to have training to use them. But in some simple power tools, to be able to be hired by a construction or manufacturing employer, you would go through an OSHA 10 safety training class, submit yourself to a drug test that you're passing the workplace test, and then also you would have assigned to you a job site work mentor that could also help with your safety and training. And that passed, except for the fact that the House and Conference Committee removed construction at the behest of the construction trades unions and left manufacturing. So the good news is the manufacturing associations are working on for next summer getting participating employers to have summer workplace programs where students can make $10, $12, $14 an hour working on in a manufacturing plant, getting some training and being put in through this mentoring program. My guess is those that do that say, you know, I like this. I want to continue this into the school year. And it will actually be a very big recruiting tool for those to go into career technical training at the high school level so they can continue working part-time throughout the school year.
We mentioned Barberton, Norton, and Wadsworth as an example of schools that are working in a cooperation on the trades program. They have for several years. Actually, the superintendent, Jeff Ramnitz, down there in Summit County in Barberton Citizen Schools, he was going to retire after being principal of the high school, but then he had such a passion for this program that he launched it. He is now superintendent. He's continuing his career to oversee that program. How many high schools across the state, Brian, currently have trades programs where they're training their students in the sophomore and senior through the senior year?
Well, technically, every school has a connection with a career center somewhere, but it could be three or four counties away. It could be geographically not viable for many families. And so those in my children, that's a four cities compact that you referred to. It includes Copley Fairlawn Schools, Barberton, Norton, and Wadsworth. And they do an outstanding, those four school districts have come together. What's nice about those is geographically, they're fairly close. You go from Copley Fairlawn down to Norton.
Oh, I forgot that Copley was part of that. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Barberton and Wadsworth. So you're talking about a 20 mile kind of area. And so each school specializes, and the four of those schools have come together. One does the nursing and medical and the dental training programs. Another one does the construction and the manufacturing training. Another one will do the hospitality. And so they share programs, so they don't all have to have 15 different programs, but they collectively, if they all offer four, they could collectively have 20 or so career tech. So it's a great partnership. They've come together, my children have benefited from that. And it's a great arrangement. That is, and they're lucky because of the geographic closeness of them. But there are places around the state where while the students technically have access to training, it's so far away that the transportation barriers just make it.
Well, and that's why we're drawing attention to it today, because we want to encourage it. Brian, thanks for being my guest today. How do folks find the Associated Builders and Contractors? What's the website?
Well, what they need to do is go on to noabc.org. That's Northern Ohio ABC, but the letters are noabc.org.
Absolutely. We'll have you back on when this bill is introduced by State Representative Mark Romanchuk and others, and we'll get behind it. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you.
God bless you. And again, trying to give hope to our young people seeking career path and choice. Well, if you enjoyed today's program, you can hear it in its entirety at our website at ohioca.org.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.